good morning, everybody. We're Grand Forks Best Source. On the show today, from the Midwest Public Health Coalition, David Waterman is back, along with biomedical researcher Nick Ralston. Going to be an interesting show, to mask or not to mask. Show today, by the way, brought to you by Integrity Fundraisers. You know, in as little as 2 weeks, Integrity Fundraisers can help any school, sports team, youth group, and nonprofits raise money for much-needed funds. You could purchase personalized water bottles or mugs with your name and your logo laser engraved on them. They're so cool. They also do drinkware, barbecue sets, cutting boards, growlers, flasks, all kinds of cool things. You know, Integrity Fundraisers also supports businesses in need of business cards, brochures, or any printed materials. They do shipping with over 300 clients, including Grand Forks Best Source, and $3 million raised locally to over 390,000 students served. Well, they might be able to help you too. Call them up. Integrity Fundraisers at the Grand Cities Mall, 701-402-2171, and let Integrity Fundraisers help you. Well, if you have any questions, feel free to text or call. Our number is 701-213-0863, 701-213-0863. And yeah, Mike, there are other things to talk about, but this is kind of a big show. A lot of people interested in it. There are more than a couple people out there watching. All right, time now for our daily segment called Jokes My Neighbor Tells Me. Here we go, Jokes My Neighbor Tells Me. I don't know about this one. So apparently, masks are the new bras. They're uncomfortable. You only wear them in public. And when you don't wear one, everyone notices. Hear that? So apparently masks are the new bras. They're uncomfortable. You only wear them in public. And when you don't wear one, everybody notices. What do you think about that one, Paul?
Sure.
Sure. What did you guys think of that joke? Nick?
I liked it.
It wasn't really a joke, but...
It was a good attempt.
Yeah, yeah. It was a good attempt. David, come on. You're itching to say something.
Unfortunately, everybody notices, but not. Let me just back off on that one.
Okay.
It was better in the 70s when it was real.
There you go.
Right. It's interesting. One of the similarities is that some people notice when you walk out in public without a mask on, and they give you the scorn, you know, the look of scorn, you're killing people, or you're an idiot. But other people look and they smile and they say the thumbs up. You know, I've gotten more of the positive response than the negative response because I've yet to wear a mask in public to stop myself from killing other people with COVID.
The only time I've seen it now, besides being with Paul, in the mall here, early in the morning, mall walkers, all four of them, or five of them, or whatever there are, the neighbor here at the neighboring businesses walked over to get her mail, and twice now she has been basically cornered by a guy, a mall walker, and giving her a hard time, saying, you know, I'm surprised. I really thought different that you would be the one to wear the mask. And she says, you know what? There's nobody in here. You know, it seems like with the whole mask thing, they forget about the social distancing, the washing your hands, the sneezing or coughing into your elbow. They think now that the mask is the whole thing. But there is way more to it than just, that's just one of the guidelines that they're saying you should do to help. But I do want to add this, cases in North Dakota are dropping. The month of January so far, a little over one death a day, which is down a lot. But now they say in the warmer areas of the United States, the West Coast, down south, they say there now that the positive hits are spiking. And I just don't know.
You know, oh yeah!
Now does COVID pick a weather too, yeah. or what?
Well, it's okay. So I'm going to talk, but you know, Nick Ralston, the other guest this morning, he's not just a biomedical researcher; he's got a PhD. So he's a learned biomedical researcher. So so he'll keep me honest, right?
At okay,
I hope so.
I've never succeeded yet, but no, I'm joking.
So the thing that we forget when we talk about, you talk about, you know, social distancing and washing your hands and all that kind of thing. We haven't even really talked on the show very much about that, but the fact of the matter is that there is no science behind social distancing. That concept is it's a great idea in theory, and if we didn't live in fluid air, it might actually work. I mean, if COVID-19 was radiation, then maybe that would be true. If COVID-19 was spread from me to Nick when I coughed or sneezed on him, then that might help, because, you know, there are all these armies of people that go around coughing and sneezing on people in public, although I've never seen any of them. I've never coughed on anyone or sneezed on anyone, and I've never had anyone do that, you know, to me, other than, as I've mentioned before, my dog and my children. They've both coughed and sneezed on me. But it never happens when I'm at the grocery store or at the lumber yard or anything like that. So I think that the interesting part of this discussion will be as we talk about how the virus is spread and how it's not spread, because that's really what counts, isn't it? And we should be seeing at this point significant evidence, because there are several states that have mask mandates. In fact, most of them do now. And we should notice a real difference in spread and transmission of the virus on the states that have mask mandates versus the states that don't have mask mandates, shouldn't we? I mean, that evidence should all be there. It should be really obvious. If masks work, we should have real good proof that they work.
You know, you guys both have the look on your face like you've been training for this moment for months. Nick, I know you want to... I'm going to kind of let you guys kind of do this today. And the reason we asked Nick on the show today, he is a biomedical researcher. He knows a lot. I've known him for a long time, and Nick joined in on the show here a couple of weeks ago with a bunch of texts and stuff, so we invited him on the show, and we're glad he showed up. But what do you say about what David just said, Nick?
Well, I can understand where he's coming from, but it's not the right place. There's a lot of extra things that need to be considered. Dave and I are not completely disagreeing, but there's some important things that need to be known. And so your listeners can know who I am. I grew up on a farm. I started wearing masks when I was 12 years old. Shoveling grain, full, you know, high temperature, full speed.
Been there, done that. Yeah, yep.
It's hard work. Wearing a mask is something I've done ever since I was a kid. When I was a laboratory technician, I was part of the crew that was in the rescue bunch. So we wore masks for if anybody ever had an issue in the laboratory and failed, so it needed a rescue. I was part of that bunch. Scuba diving, so respiratory stuff there. When I went to Mayo Clinic, where I got my training, my studies were in thoracic disease. So pulmonary diseases, cardiovascular diseases, when you have one problem, you've got the other. Mm-hmm. They go together. But so pulmonary diseases related to dust in particular. Grain dust is a bad one, and
yep.
Wearing a mask you have to do, or it can get bad. So the Bisonosis, which is a disease probably most everybody hasn't heard of. Have you ever heard of Bisonosis?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. I hadn't either before I got there. But it's from breathing dust from an industry. If you don't keep that dust out of your lungs, just think about what your lungs are like.
Mm-hmm.
They're warm, dark. Great place to grow if you're any kind of bug, a bacteria or a fungus, whatever. But viruses are the same. If they get in, they're going to attach. The spikes on a COVID, those actually bind to one of the important receptors that are present in so many tissues of the body. Okay.
You can bring the mic a little closer to your mouth.
Okay.
The ACE2 receptor you're talking about.
Yeah, ACE2. Yeah. And that's abundant in the mouth. So for a while we were thinking that, like many other influenza, for instance, you need to get a deep penetration to get an infection. And unfortunately, influenza is so virulent, you get one or two, well, half dozen. You probably got it. So it's more virulent than COVID. We're lucky and unfortunate at the same time with COVID, because COVID is not really highly infectious, and that's good.
Mm-hmm.
That's really good. And a lot of people, if they do get it, depending upon what their previous exposures are, some won't even have severe symptoms. Unfortunately, some do. And the objectives of public health people, and that's actually what I have taught most recently, is teaching at the Master's in Public Health program at UND. Public health students, the thing we tell them is your duties are not to your bosses, they're to the public. Whatever it takes to do what's right by the public. And I told them, just as my mentors tell me, that you need masking. And the problem that we've got is a little bit of misinterpretation about what masks are, what they do, what they're for. So that's what I intend to talk about today.
Okay, and now going back to growing up on a farm, because I have shoveled out many grain bins myself, yeah. and I couldn't imagine what it would be like without a mask. but I did have a mask on, and I did realize afterwards, and that's what this whole thing kind of started out as, is they're making us wear these masks that I don't think work. A lot of people don't think they work. But let's face it, they helped when you were shoveling a grain bin out, but they didn't work.
No, you'd still be coughing up stuff for a long time.
I mean, I could dang near cough up a loaf of bread after about a week of doing that stuff, you know. Now, they're saying, what is it here? Wearing a mask, this is one of the things that you had mentioned a couple of weeks ago. Wearing a mask was an effort to save lives and the economy. And I get that, but do you think maybe it was a little too late, or
no?
Do the masks, I mean, these paper masks, the cloth masks, it's obvious. It's almost, to me, like they make us wear them because it just makes everybody feel a little better.
Well, it's kind of unfortunate. I think the public health messaging has not been very clear, and it certainly hasn't been very consistent. There have been lots of people that are attempting to give the right message at the time they were giving it, initially, like back in March, February, there weren't enough cases for people to really need masking. What we did need was masks for the public, the workers, the frontline workers in the rooms with the sick people. So they were talking about masks at that point, and everybody assumed that when they said mask, that they meant like this. Or like these cloth ones that everybody's using these days. But at that time, they were using the word mask to mean the N95 respirator, which protects you.
Yep.
That's far better than any of these.
Well, sure.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like body armor. If you're going to be in the battlefield, you want to be wearing your body armor.
Mm-hmm.
The nurses that are in the room, they had better have N95, so we made sure they had it. And during the lockdown, part of the reason for the lockdown was to get the N95s distributed to initiate domestic production in the United States, because unfortunately, like everything else, we're making them in China these days. So we did not have domestic production, but we needed to get that going. And it is finally getting going, but you know, it's still, I think, unsatisfactory. We needed to do a lot better. So I tend to talk too long, so stop me.
No, that's okay. But I do want to add this, you know, with the mask mandate, you walk into say a bar, or a restaurant, you have your mask on when you walk in, the mask comes off. I've been to some places recently where there were a lot of people, there wasn't any social distancing, but nobody was worried about it. The way I look at it is, if you're that worried about it, you wouldn't put yourself in that situation. You wouldn't be in that, you know, establishment. But do you think, and this is what it seems like I'm finding out, it seems to me like there's people, a great example is, again, the mall walker. It's like they almost go out looking for somebody that's not wearing a mask just so they can, you know, say something to them. Although I tried baiting the one guy. Because he says something to the lady all the time, but he won't say anything to me. And normally when I'm walking around in here, I do put my mask on just so, you know, to make other people happy. But it seems to me like it's just a feel-good thing.
Well, and I think you're right. I mean, we've got folks that are thinking this is terrible. You get exposed to it and you're going to fall over and die.
Mm-hmm. It's real. There's no doubt about
it. It's real, but it's not real bad. I mean, we're real lucky this is not SARS-CoV-1.
Mm-hmm.
The first coronavirus had a 30% death rate. But you know what? We had hardly any cases in the United States because it was so severe, so quick, You knew you were sick. You were talking to the doctor. You hardly exposed anybody. And track and trace works really good with that type of disease because they say, well, where have you been? Okay, and they find out, okay, this person, this person, this person. Test them all. That's the one you got it from. These people, quarantine them. This is a much tougher bug because nobody knows if they've got it. I mean, you know, ideally none of us do because we're exposing each other. But, you know, if we do, the chances of lethality are low. The worry, though, is the consequence, long-term consequence. If we did end up hospitalized, you know, we're actually, even I'm not so old that I'm in a really bad group. But if I did end up in ICU, the problem is different from almost all other types of things we've got. You go to the ICU because you had a heart attack. Well, you're in ICU for maybe a week, or, you know, that's kind of all, sometimes it's not even more than a couple of days. Here, you're in the ICU for weeks, months sometimes, and then you sometimes don't make it out.
Right.
So that's how come our concern is trying to keep the infections down, not so much that we're super, super worried about just the lethality. We are concerned about lethality. But I want to keep that ICU open so that if Dave has a heart attack, well, no, he's not going to have a heart attack. He's healthier than me. But or a car accident or something like that. When we go in, they're there. Not only are they there, they're ready. Because if you take the folks that are working in an ICU long hours constantly, and it really takes it out of a person to be doing this kind of care. This is high-intensity care when you got somebody on a ventilator. And then I've got friends and relatives that are working in these areas. One of the reasons I never wanted to go into medicine is it wouldn't matter how bad the patient was. It could be a chain-smoking, drug-abusing, 98-year-old meth user. And if that patient died, I'd feel terrible that that patient died because they were on my watch.
They basically killed themselves, but...
Yeah, I still feel bad. And nurses, when they make friends with these people, and sometimes after weeks, one of my cousins was treating a guy, had a long, hard haul. They got him to the point he's going to check out. His brother's in the room ready to pick him up. She goes, gets the paperwork. She comes back. The guy had a heart attack and died, and that's
wow.
That's not uncommon. You think you're out of the woods and you're down, and that's heartbreaking, because especially when you think you just won. So it's not that it kills so many, it's just that it takes up ICU space. And our goal is, I mean, we want to save lives, of course, but mostly our goal is let's keep the ICU numbers down low. Even here in Grand Forks, our ICU was starting to get kind of saturated. We had to have an infusion of extra people come because we didn't have the numbers. And now we're actually in an okay space. But some places, you of course saw Italy, where they were actually stacking them up in the hallways and never even got to see them before they died.
You know, Nick,
we don't want that.
Just really quickly, because I'm not sure what this is, but Susan, she's watching us from YouTube here, and she said that, I think she's referring to you, that you're out of your lane, and an industrial hygienist is the field for the masks. I'm not sure what an industrial hygienist is, though.
Well,
can I say something?
Yeah, sorry. I talked a lot. Sorry, Dave.
That's okay. That's okay, Nick. I agree in theory with everything you've said. And if you really want to take any pathogen, whether it's a virus or a bacteria, any pathogen, and you want to drill down on it and look at it and look at how it affects the host, that it sickens, it gets pretty scary, right? I mean, you can look at all the things that it does to us internally and say, wow, this is terrible. But the fact of the matter is, when you said the number of deaths are few, the reason the number of deaths are few is because the virulence of COVID-19 is just not that great.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. So in other words, it's not that dangerous of a virus. The people who... There's so many different issues that I wasn't keeping notes because I was actually looking for an article that I wanted to reference, because in case you said, well, where do you get that from? I'd be able to hand it to you and show you, but I can't because I couldn't find it.
Don't worry.
Okay. So the issue here is, first of all, do masks work to stop COVID? Well, no, first the issue is, I think that everybody needs to consider is, which I think very few people are considering, is how virulent is it really? How easy is it to spread, and how many people get sick? There's so much propaganda out there about so many infections and so many cases, and these numbers and the phrases that are being used, the terms are being very loosely defined or not defined at all, or they're changing the definitions in such a way that it makes people very fearful. And
I completely agree, Dave. I think there's been really poor public health messaging. There really should have been clear, concise, consistent information presented early and continually. And so I'm not arguing at all that the public health messaging has been far less than it should have been.
But not only has it not been what it should have been, there has been an enormous amount of deception that's been going on.
I disagree there.
Okay, so I've talked with enough medical personnel,
you're doctors. You're talking to one now.
Okay, so where do you practice right now?
Well, actually, I do research on, I'm no longer doing pulmonary research, so.
No, but what patients do you see?
One of the things that a lot of people fail to understand is when we train MDs, we're the ones that teach them. MDs do teach the clinical practice, but as far as the scientific practice of pharmacology, biochemistry, immunology, hematology, those are never the MDs. The experts are the PhDs that are passing along the information.
Very good.
And we do want the PhDs to be as well-trained as possible, and we do also get plenty of PhDs. For instance, in my program, we had MD PhDs.
So. Right. So the point that I'm trying to make is you don't see patients.
No.
And you're right. And so you don't fill out death certificates.
Thank goodness.
Right.
Like I said, that's part of the reason kept me out of med school. Right. I'd feel guilty if a meth addict died on me.
So here's the thing. It's one thing to hear about doctors in other states being pressured to write COVID-19 as the cause of death on a death certificate with somebody who died from a stroke or who died from cancer or who died in a car accident or from a gunshot. But it's a whole other thing when you hear those stories happening in other states, and then you know doctors locally who are telling you the same exact thing, who are so frightened that they might lose their job if anybody finds out that they actually admitted that that's what's going on. That puts it in a different context.
Oh, I completely agree. I mean, epidemiology is part of what I do still do. And
which is a very broad, incredibly broad
there's no area of science that isn't incredibly broad these days. I mean, you know, it's kind of, you got to know a lot of, or a little bit of everything. But I completely agree, Dave, we should never have anybody contaminate the data. It's going to make it harder in the end. It's probably adding to a little bit of difficulty now because we need to be able to sort that sort of stuff out. And if they don't get it sorted now, it's going to be difficult later. So when that is happening, I would encourage anybody that is seeing that happen to make sure that they, you know, do something where it's
What are you going to do? You're a doctor. You're told, no, take this. You wrote that this guy died of myocardial infarction. Well, you take that back and you change that to COVID. Wait a minute. You're the doctor. What do you do when you're given that command?
You know, the Academy Code says, I will not lie, cheat, steal, or accept those that do.
Yes.
That's a minimum standard for everybody. MDs should have a higher standard than that. I think everybody should have a higher standard than that.
Agreed. And in theory, that should work that way.
And
but when you've got a mortgage and you're putting kids through college and your job is on the line.
Yeah.
Well, what happened to the, who was the guy from Fargo, the guy that worked at Sanford who made a statement?
Oh, he was the CEO. Yeah.
What was the statement that he made?
He had been diagnosed with COVID-19. He went through it, went through the quarantine and everything. And then when he was done, he said, I am no longer going to wear a mask because now I won't get it because I've already had it. Yeah. Well, that probably wasn't the right thing for a CEO to say, but it was, in a nutshell, that's what he said. He wasn't going to wear a mask anymore because he had already had COVID.
And what happened?
They basically asked him to step down.
Yeah, he was fired.
Yep.
Okay, so the CEO of Sanford,
mm-hmm.
says he's not going to wear a mask anymore because he's not at risk of contracting COVID since he's already had it. And he's certainly not at risk of spreading it since he's already had it. So he's fired.
Mm.
When just a standard medical doctor sees that happen, and then they're told, you toe the line.
I find that unacceptable.
I do too.
Yeah.
But it's happening all over the country. It's happening all over the country. And Nick, I will tell you, I know doctors who I've known for years who have relayed information and at a very minimalistic level won't refuse to even give details because they are fearful that someone will find out that they said something.
Well, I mean, that's actually part of the thing that I think really we have stupidity happening on maybe a little bit from both sides. I mean, everybody has their chance to be stupid. I take my chance two or three times a day, and I probably succeed in being stupid at least two out of three of those. So, but anyhow, something like that, I do find that unacceptable because if they are being coerced to give information that's incorrect, that bollocks everything because how can we trust the data? I mean, we do know the data is going to have positives and we need to be able to interpret those positives correctly. But if it's getting contaminated with things like that, even if it's well intentioned, and I imagine it maybe is, although I do not agree with going that far, even with the best of intentions. It's a lot harder to figure out what really happened if anybody does anything gray. If you got black and white, go for it. If you have something that's a little bit gray, well, maybe this person had COVID. We didn't test them. Put them down as a gray. Don't mark them as a positive. Mark them as a gray because we're messing up the data if we do anything else.
And one of the problems, though, Nick, I think is that you're starting from the perspective that everything we're being told about COVID is essentially correct, and the response is essentially correct, and there might be some tweaks we can do here and there, but in a nutshell, we're going the right direction, doing the right thing. I say that not only does the science disagree with that position, but that if we destroy our economy, our culture, and our country in order to stop what's essentially a bad cold for most people. Actually, it's not that bad because 80% of the people that get COVID don't get any symptoms at all. That doesn't mean that they're walking around like zombies, that they're actually dead men walking. What it means is their bodies did what they were supposed to do. They did the high karate chop to the virus that came in and killed it, and they move on. How many viruses, Nick, will you be exposed to, will you be infected by from the time you wake up in the morning till the time you go to bed at night?
Thousands, and I'm probably carrying thousands because that's part of living on planet Earth.
So why shouldn't we all be quarantined all the time so that we don't spread those viruses to each other?
Well, I kind of like getting out and seeing people, Dave.
Well, I think that's very irresponsible of you, and you're going to kill people.
Well, If a few die, they die, Dave. I'm just sorry.
That's terrible, Nick. No, I can't believe you said that.
All right. Here's what we're going to do right now. This is the easiest show I think I've ever hosted, by the way, because I haven't said anything yet. But I'm going to read a couple of texts here. I'm going to say one thing, and then we're going to take a break. It's something for you guys to think about during this time. Melanie says, you know, if the N95 masks were saved for the medical people and they are not available for the public, then why do they bother to tell the people to wear a mask? Personally, I feel it's for control, peace of mind, making the public feel like they're safe, just my opinion. There are long-term consequences to all kinds of illnesses, so we are going to wear masks forever then. What is the end game? Immortality, total annihilation of illness and death? Salisha, quite the opposite, William. It's unsubstantiated fear. The media, the false numbers and lack of people willing and able to think for themselves and keep the pandemic going. Let's see. What is specifically wrong with the public health messaging? How is the common person helping stop the spread by wearing cloth masks? And there's more, but one thing I wanted to add before...
Really quickly, too, we got one from YouTube here, Cheryl. She said, I have friends fighting to get COVID off of loved ones' death certificates. One was told that to cover medical expenses, they needed to keep the death as COVID when it was a head injury.
Yeah, well, we talked about that last week. Minnesota now in trouble. They figure they've tweaked like 800 death certificates trying to relate them to COVID. But what I wanted to get to before this commercial break, Nick Ralston, you said hospitals being overwhelmed. They had to bring nurses in. Now, from what I understand, let's use Grand Forks for an example. We had Air Force nurses come in and everything. It wasn't because the hospital itself was overwhelmed with COVID patients. The problem was, is a nurse might have been next to somebody that possibly tested positive, so they got quarantined for 14 days. I know this because my neighbor's a nurse, and she was quarantined two different times, and that keeps happening, and pretty soon there are no healthcare workers. They might not be sick. They might be sick, but they're stuck at home. They're quarantined. So obviously, there's a shortage of nurses, and it wasn't because being overwhelmed by COVID patients. I really think we were ready, and I'm going to answer one more text here before I do this ad. But Minnesota state lawmakers call for an audit. This is what we talked about last week. COVID-19 death certificates, 2,800 death certificates examined. 800 did not have COVID-19 as an underlying cause of death. One of them was actually drowning. One of them was being ejected through the window of the car in a car crash, but they still listed as COVID-related. So we're going to take a quick break. Biomedical researcher Nick Ralston in the studio, along with David Waterman from the Midwest Public Health Coalition, to mask or not to mask, and we'll be back with these two gentlemen here in just a minute. But first off, if you want continuous protection to any indoor space, tell you what, contact Pure Mist Total Indoor Environment Protection. Their multifaceted process uses advanced technology to destroy contaminants in the air and on surfaces. Now, Pure Mist can protect homes, businesses, classrooms, clinics, fitness clubs, any place, just like our studio. It's the apex of indoor environment protection, destroying surface and airborne microbes. Now, we're talking viruses, bacteria, mold, fungi, allergens, odors. And Active Pure is also an FDA-tested and approved technology to reduce and eliminate SARS and COV-2, the virus that causes COVID-19. You know what? We protect our studio now with Pure Mist. Maybe you should think about doing that for your home, too, or your business. Call Chad at 763-229-7969 or go to PureMistCo.com. It's protection of every second of every day, 365 days a year. Pure Mist Total Indoor Environment Protection, clean spaces, healthy people. And we are back. Nick Ralston, David Waterman. All right, who's going to jump in?
I have something that I...
Paul is.
Sorry, I got to say this. Because so, Mike, hopefully you're still watching this. I just wanted to point out, we are trying to be better at keeping up to date on it. But if you want to know what shows we have going on, you can go to our website, gfbestsource.com. And then our events page, it shows all the different things that interviews and everything that we have lined up. Also, including if you want to know anything about Realty, check out the Berkshire Hathaway podcast that we have on Wednesday mornings at 10 and Friday mornings at 10. There's your plug, Mike. And be sure to I better see your face at our ribbon cutting this Friday at 4.
Yeah. And you know, to mask or not to mask, when we first got David Waterman on the show with the Midwest Public Health Coalition, we didn't think this was going to be an every week or an every other week with David. The fact of the matter is on these Tuesday shows, because nobody else wants to talk about this stuff, right, we get more public interaction on these shows than just about any other show we do. You know what? It's kind of like radio, I guess. I'm never asking anybody to turn the radio off, but I've worked in radio for 35 years. If somebody called me up and bitched about the song I was playing or didn't like it, I would say, you know what, here's what I'm asking you to do. Just turn the dial. That's what it's for. Turn the dial, but turn it back in a couple of minutes. So, you know, not every show is for everybody, but this show is for a lot of people. A lot of people are really intrigued about this stuff. A lot of people are fed up with it, with the mask wearing and all that stuff. But, okay, I said my piece. We flipping a coin to see who's next.
No, I think that was a good thing to say, because the fact of the matter is, this is not just a matter. This is, we're not talking about the Vikings versus the pick your other team.
Whoever else is going to beat them up.
Yep. We're talking about, this is something that is impacting every single person's life in America right now. And it's impacting their lives in a very negative way. In England, according to a study that was done by scientists in England, 4.5 times more people died from the response to COVID than from COVID itself.
Suicides.
4.5 times.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, suicides, deaths of despair for the elderly because they're not allowed to see anybody.
Mm-hmm. Drug and alcohol abuse, that'll kill people.
The what it takes is for somebody who's got a brain that runs on logic and reason to look at everything that's happening, not just one little thing. And that's one of the things about the sciences that that is both it's a double-edged sword. It's great and it's bad. You focus in so tightly on one little aspect of something that you fail to see the big picture. And our focus at Midwest Public Health Coalition is to look at the big picture, not just to drill down on the individual points, although we do that as well. Susan had texted in 10, 15 minutes ago, and she made a comment about how this is out of Nick's wheelhouse. And I tend to, with all due respect, I agree with her to this point. When it comes to masks, can I touch this?
Yes.
Thank you. Nick brought this in. I didn't bring this in. I don't touch these things normally, but, and you can sanitize that afterwards. But, I think that is really the issue. What's the value of wearing masks? Will it work or not? If you stick a mask like this or like any one of the masks over a tube and blow viral laden air through the tube and then measure in the room to see how much came out, whether or not you're able to stop something with that math, 50%, 20%, 10%, 3%, whatever it is, that's really kind of irrelevant in the real world, isn't it? Because nobody goes around breathing through a tube with a mask stretched around the end of it. And that's how a lot of these studies are actually done. However, the truth is still out there. So I just want to – go ahead, Nick. Go ahead and say something.
Well, coming from out there, since I don't actually treat any patients, I do chat with my friends at Mayo that do. And there isn't any controversy on this issue, Dave. I know you want there to be controversy.
No controversy among who?
Among the doctors at Mayo, among the public health workers at SIDRAP. We've got some of the best public health people there are on the planet. We're the ones that taught, when I say we, not me, the folks, the United States public health researchers are the ones that taught the planet. And it's not just in the United States where we all agree that this is the right way to go.
What, masks?
Masks. Oh. And one thing that we need to clarify, because I said at the beginning that a lot of people don't understand the difference between masks and masks.
Mm-hmm. Because, masks and PPE masks.
Exactly. So if you're going into a battle zone, you don't want to have just a helmet. You want to have the full body armor. Just like that, if you're going in to work with a patient that you know is contaminated, he's got COVID or she's got COVID, you definitely want to be sure that you're protected. So you don't wear a mask like this if you're in a patient room. This is to protect people from you. And that's an important thing that I don't think I've actually seen anybody on any of the YouTubes that I have looked at talking about. What's the difference between this and the type of mask that protects you? Masks are not to protect you. Masks are to protect other people. A surgeon is not worried about getting viruses or bacteria from the patient. This is actually great for intercepting blood splash. That's about all from the patient that we're worried about protecting the surgeon from.
Right.
We're keeping the surgeon from coughing, sneezing, and since everybody's talking during surgery, because it gets boring if you're doing a nine-hour surgery, you're talking constantly, and there's the open wound of the patient. You don't want to be contaminating the patient, so you wear a mask to protect others. Now, that's different, though.
To protect them from?
From what you've got.
From?
Anything you've got.
No. Wrong. Oh, I'm sorry. No, it doesn't work like that. No, otherwise, all masks would be created equal. And under the current guidelines and the current mandates, all masks are created equal, except for the masks with the little ports on the side, because they help, because people can breathe more easily through those.
Well, I guess the point that I think David is making, though, is that, I mean, what's, you know, to stop a surgeon from just going into surgery and doing this?
That's right.
It won't work as well.
So let me just, because I've got to get this in. Nick, I'm sorry, you're wrong.
In that case, all scientists across the planet are, Dave, and I'm just amazed. You know,
Nick,
you know,
I have
so
a gift. I have a
do.
Gift for you. I have a gift for you. I brought this specifically for you. This is a scientist. I'm sure you're going to say he's a kook because he disagrees with Mayo. Daniel J. Stanislavski. You can also, by the way, our website is back online, realcovidfacts.org, and you can download this as a PDF. on the purported efficacy and safety of face masks used to stop transmission of COVID-19. Now this guy. I mean, he's not a biomedical researcher. His PhD is in biochemistry and molecular biology, and this is just a 7-page research paper that he did, and the footnotes are at the back. He's got two.
Can I read that?
You may have it. He's got 215 references to scientific studies that he used in order to produce that. But I do want to say this in regard to, because you mentioned Mayo, and here's my wife was recently at a doctor's appointment with her mother, and she was complaining about wearing face masks, and because they're by the way, other than the port on the side, which I still see people wear, because here's the problem, Nick. Here's one of the many dozens of problems that we have going on right now with COVID-19 and our response to it. As long as it's a piece of cloth touching your nose and mouth, you're good. That makes it become a magical, like it's a magical amulet. As long as it's covering your nose and mouth, you can walk into any store, you can do whatever you want. But this, I do want to point out this paper. So she said, well, the masks don't work. And the medical doctor gave her this paper. Here's what it says. Mayo Clinic study finds face masks critically important in preventing COVID-19 spread. Wow, critically important. Whoa. And this is updated November 25th. The original was written November 25th, and it was updated on the same day. The study also looked into physical distancing. Now listen to this, because I'm going to make Nick's case for him here. The Mayo Clinic says it conducted a study into the efficacy of face masks and shows how critically important they are to limiting the spread of COVID-19. Among the findings regarding social distancing is that 3 feet is helpful, but 6 feet separation reduces the particle count to near baseline levels. So in other words, when you're 6 feet away, you're good. Oh, I can't possibly make you sick if you're 6 feet away. You're like baseline levels. The Rochester Health System released unpublished data from a study it conducted. I think it's funny, too.
It's not funny the way you think, Dave.
That used mannequins to measure the exposure of respiratory droplets at varying distances and with or without masks. So if you're a mannequin, you want to make sure that you wear a mask, because their study using mannequins found out that masks really work. It found that there's a 100% exposure risk when two unmasked individuals are 1 foot apart, which reduces to 17% at 3 feet, and 3% at 6 feet. So a 3% exposure risk. We're talking about the deadly black plague COVID-19 virus that kills everybody who even hears. I said it out loud. I'm sorry.
Whoever said something like that?
So no, here's the point. So this is the Mayo Clinic, and Mayo is they're the expert in everything, right? I mean, if you want to have the truth about anything medically related, you go to the Mayo Clinic. And so I was really, it was intriguing to me, Nick, that in October, the Mayo Clinic was recommending the use of face masks to stop the spread of COVID-19. When previous to that, they had not, in fact, they'd said that no, they didn't recommend wearing face masks to stop COVID-19 at all. But in October, they said, the reason we didn't recommend that before is because we just learned that a person can be infected and have no symptoms for up to 14 days before the onset of symptoms. That means they could be shedding virus for 14 days and not know they're sick. That's the reason that they now recommend face masks. October, I got the article. I didn't bring it with me, but I can get it for you.
And that's important, isn't it?
Here's the thing that is astounding to me. I'm not a medical doctor. I don't have a PhD. But I heard that a person can be infected and be spreading the virus back in February and March. How is it that I knew the 14-day thing months before the Mayo Clinic did? Maybe my connections are just better.
Your connections are great. No, it's actually more this way, Dave. What happens is when we're trying to figure something out, we propose, do you suppose this might be true? And, yes, let's study that. Until we have data, should we go ahead and say, it's proven? That'd be a lie. until it's proven, we don't say something's proven.
So, in other words, you need studies to prove your hypothesis.
And actually, what we're talking about, Dave, is not anything new. This is stuff that, I mean, back in the 1960s, we were doing studies of this nature, and even better. Physics is physics. It hasn't changed too much.
Thank you. Exactly.
And filtration is actually a very well-studied thing. To digress just a little bit, okay, what we've got is a virus that is very small. Absolutely, it'll penetrate any. It'll even penetrate an N95 if you give it time. But you know what? There's a lot more going on than just filtration. It's a mask is not a sieve. There's when you're going through multiple layers, the aerosol that contains the virus is generally about 8 microns, which is almost the same size as a red blood cell. So as it's going through, it has enough mass that it will contact fibers. It's liquid. It's contained in an aerosol. I brought along the mirror because I was going to – I'm not probably going to do it because we can't do close-ups. But if you breathe on it, you can see it.
Yes.
And I tested repeatedly putting on a single mask of every variety I could. I could not make any haze appear on the mask.
Which means what? What does that mean?
Which means this is catching it, isn't it?
It's catching what?
The aerosols.
Is it catching them?
Absolutely, and this is not
okay. What's the difference? What's the difference, Nick? What's the difference? Okay,
so let me
ask you a science question.
We're talking almost 60 years.
Let me ask you a science question. What's the difference between filtration versus diffusion?
Diffusion is part of the whole thing, but I think what everybody tends to miss is
just so that we can be clear,
go ahead.
What is the difference between filtration and diffusion? Just if you could explain that so that the audience can understand that.
Brownian motion, just air being impacted on any small aerosol, it will move, of course.
But that's no diffusion. I'm not talking about Brownian motion. I'm talking about diffusion.
That's what causes diffusion, Dave.
I'm talking about diffusion through a media. So, for example, let me tell you something. Let me give an example, if I may. I don't know. We don't have a wide shot of the studio, do we?
But you can go to me.
Can we go to? Okay,
yeah, that's a big wide. That's a wide shot.
All right, let's see. So
makes me look thinner.
Okay, so this. Let's see if I can point to this light right here. Right? Mm-hmm. Can you see this one?
I think you're going to make my point for me, Dave, actually. Go ahead.
This is called the diffused light. This is diffused. Okay. It makes as opposed to that light over there. Can you give me a shot, that light right behind Nick? Right up there.
That's it.
We're showing people our tricks for the background.
I don't think we'll be able to get the angle on it.
Sorry about that. We can't.
As opposed to direct.
I can't see that.
Well, because it's behind that baffle.
Oh, it's the baffle. Right. Yeah. Show that one right there. Just turn. Yeah, there you go. Right. That's a direct light. That's little LEDs, and they're shooting out directly. So that light will cast a very sharp shadow, as opposed to the diffuse light, which doesn't cast a very sharp shadow. So I'm using this light in this case to reference the point that Nick was making when he said he breathes through a cloth. And holds the mirror up and doesn't see anything, but when he breathes without the mirror, he can see his breath condensing on the on the mirror. The reason for that is because one is a direct source and one's a diffuse source.
If you diffuse it,
that means that that doesn't stop the particles going from your mouth into the air. Into the fluid air.
You're quite wrong on that.
Okay.
You're 100% wrong. Let's say 95% wrong.
Okay. It will stop some, mm-hmm. right? Because at some point after 15 or 20 minutes, the mask becomes quite moist, mm-hmm. doesn't it? So that moisture obviously wasn't generated by the mask itself. It came out of your lungs.
I hope not.
So how long will that mask effectively catch? Because if you think like a sponge... Right. At some point, a sponge becomes fully saturated.
Right. Yes, exactly.
And once it's saturated, what is it catching then?
Well, if you're a smart person, you probably don't want to do it to the point where it's saturated, Dave. Actually, that was one thing I was going to do as kind of an example.
Are you insulting the people that are listening who wear those things all day long? Because I've seen a waitress at a restaurant whose mask was so saturated, I was concerned that it was like going to drip into my food. I really was. I thought, that's so gross.
If anyone out there is doing that, please don't. You should carry several masks. You should wash them. I've been amazed at how few people realize hand washing was important. That alarmed me when I found out hand
washing. So the mask that's been in my pocket and my jacket for the last month and a half that I do put on occasionally probably isn't the right thing to do.
One of the problems is that
I kind of think you maybe shouldn't. I think you should wash your mask repeatedly.
Here's one of the issues, and I haven't even gotten to the BMJ article or the OSHA article.
Yeah, and I haven't gotten to my best stuff either.
But the fact of the matter is, the fact is that Nick, you live in a world that's of laboratories and controlled conditions, and that's one thing when you're doing research, but when you're living in the real world, there's a whole different set of circumstances that come into play that are critically important. So, for example, if you can do all the testing that you want on the effectiveness of any one of these masks. I've been fit tested for a mask. I happen to have my degree, as you probably know, is in industrial technology. And so one of the things that I studied was industrial safety.
Good. Yeah.
And so I know something about PPE. Actually, I'm quite knowledgeable about PPE.
Good.
And that's the reference that Susan was making, saying that you really maybe are outside of your range of expertise. But the truth of the matter is that there's no such thing as universal PPE. There's no such thing as universal PPE. Let me say it one more time.
Ebola, we have universal PPE.
No, that's not universal PPE. You just said for Ebola.
Oh, well, you're taking it.
Correct.
As, okay.
I'm saying universal. Right. In other words, nothing works for everything all the time.
Well, would you want anything that did? I mean, really?
Well, that's a philosophical question. But let's just deal with the science. Okay. So the idea
that's what I thought we were doing, Dave.
You just asked a very philosophical question. Would you want something that worked for everything all the time? Okay. So let's go back to the science.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. I like that.
Who's hosting this again? I forgot.
Well, sorry. You know, I mean, sorry. Well,
and so
sorry,
this is it.
Sorry.
You know, and for the, you know, when people commented on, you know, everybody's like talking about these masks and everything. Well, I'd like to point out that that's what's so great about what we're doing here is, I mean, we don't have just a couple of jabronis that are, you know, like in their 20s that have no reference. So they're just, you know, it's like a back and forth at a, you know, turkey dinner. The people we've had on the show, I mean, we got, you know, last week we had a lawyer on here, you know, so, and we have people that are educated in this kind of stuff. So
we had an expert on PPE and masks a few weeks ago. Did you? I don't know if you heard that show.
No.
Yeah,
that's too
Paul,
bad.
Because, he's no jabroni.
Because Paul is extremely well educated when it comes to masks. And one of the questions that John, that you asked him was, is there a mask out there that will stop COVID-19? I remember you asking that question. Do you remember what he said?
He said no.
Correct. Yeah, he said there is none.
And so we had a comment here too, and I don't know what this means, so I'll ask you, Nick. It says meta-analysis of studies looking at the effectiveness of masks show they aren't effective.
Well, it's part of the reason why, and that's actually an important part. How many people have you seen wearing the masks in this nature?
Tons.
Yeah. So
not most of them, though. It's very few because I look all the time. I'd say maybe I see that's maybe one out of 12 to 15 that they have it below their nose. My son can't wear it above his nose. He works right now at a place where he's required to wear a mask. He told them when they hired him, and he works in a state where they're required. He said, I cannot wear the mask above my nose. They said, I can't do that. He gets, not only does he get terrible migraines after about less than an hour, but he's got another medical condition that could be triggered by that. So he has to be able to breathe fresh air while he's working. And that's how actually most human beings are. They need to be able to breathe fresh air while they're working. And so let me just go
really
back.
Really quick though, because I don't think Nick really got to answer the question because I don't know what meta-analysis is. I mean, can you explain that?
Well, there have been, right now there's 90,000 studies on COVID. Not all of them are about mask, obviously. But on the mask issue, there's 30,000 that mention it, and probably they're not all directly studying masks. A meta-analysis is where you, obviously. Yeah. But when you're looking at a series of studies, what you need to do is, okay, like the one that you just gave me, which I have there, there are so many studies going on, and somebody may have already done some meta-analysis. This is not really my area. This is, you know, I'm interested in it, have knowledge from, you know, years ago. But a meta-analysis takes all of the data that's out there and does their best job of summarizing what is trustworthy. Was it done by somebody that has no skills and so they wouldn't know that you have to actually separate out the people that are using masks properly? There have been so many studies that are reporting, well, masks didn't seem to work, and perhaps they didn't work, and that's all. That's certainly valid. A mask is not to protect you. The thing about diffusion, I was going to eventually jump in, but we talk too much, don't we? But the thing about a mask is it catches as much as possible before it gets into the air. And you're completely right. If it's in the air, well, then we have to count on diffusion and the droppage. There's a gradual droppage of the bigger ones. Small ones, though, Dave, I'm completely going to agree with you. They do float. And if you are wearing a mask, some of them might get caught on the outside of the mask coming in. But really, a mask is to capture it before it gets out to contaminate the air of the room that you're in. And
so hard. So can we just deal with that from a common sense, very basic scientific perspective? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. I want to ask you a question, and I'll ask for a very short answer. If I may, John, is that okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. How are we doing for time?
We're doing okay, but I was getting ready to wonder if you guys wanted to arm wrestle or not, but you can go ahead and ask.
I'll take
no.
He's going to,
no.
You watch. I was wondering if Nick was going to show up in person because I thought he's going to be afraid to meet me out in the parking lot because I know karate and a couple other.
He's probably got some swords in his car, so you better watch it.
I know karate and a couple other Japanese words. Yeah. But. So the question is, what is the primary vector of transmission for COVID-19 based on your understanding of this virus? Just quickly, please.
They thought fomites were contributing
which means touching the surface
touching
of something.
And then touching your own.
Yes.
And there is a plus of wearing a mask. There's very little of that. But if you are wearing a mask, at least you won't touch your nose, mouth as easy if you're wearing a mask. But really, it's aerosol transmission is expected to be. Now, on all of these things, is there any other way it could be?
Okay, so you're saying that fomite is not the primary. That's not the primary.
No, not with most viruses. Most viruses, it's children. Of course, fomites are big because they touch. It goes in the mouth.
And so for children, that's interesting because with COVID-19, children are at extremely low risk.
Yeah. Their immune system's actually quite good because
very young children don't even have the number of ACE2 receptors that they have is significantly reduced from an adult.
Well, and their interferon gamma is, it appears that interferon gamma is going to be big in how people either suffer seriously or don't suffer at all.
So several reasons why children would be at much lower risk than everybody else. And yet the children are being forced to suffer the most because they're wearing masks in school, they're social distancing. They're constantly having to wash their hands throughout the day. I spoke with a father a few months ago who said that his son's skin, his hands are constantly itchy. He's constantly scratching his hands because they're all day long using Clorox wipes to wipe down the desks and the work surfaces, and then they're having to use the hand sanitizer all day long. Is that healthy?
Well, actually, I kind of think that what we need to do is get the teachers vaccinated as soon as possible.
But wait a minute, is that healthy?
Well, I mean, nobody ever died from washing their hands. I'm not a big fan of having dried out skin myself.
We had a commenter, Jean, because I'm totally on board with her because I hate seeing my daughter wear one, but she said, the kids in school wear the same masks all day and they are soaking wet. The nurses who cared for me were absolutely dripping, sweating through the masks, and around them people were wet used masks.
Yeah. Like I said, I think the public health messaging has been abysmal. We need to have people aware that when you're using masks, they do. I mean, myself, I never wear one more than 15 minutes to go into a store to get something. So, I don't really need to have a half dozen masks on me.
So I was hoping,
if you're wearing constantly, you should probably have a few.
So let me ask this. Do you think that wearing that mask when you walk into a store is actually protecting somebody from you?
If I was infected, yes. I mean, but if you, it could be that if I won't really know.
And we haven't really. So can you come? Well, okay. So here's the question. I'm not going to ask a question. I'm going to read what I've got because I want to make this point. We can talk about, I think it would be a valid discussion to talk about asymptomatic versus symptomatic spread, because from all the reading, all the studies that I've done, they have not found a confirmed case of asymptomatic spread anywhere in the world of COVID-19. So if that's true, then all of this is a bunch of nonsense, isn't it? Because asymptomatic spread, meaning you don't have symptoms, and so, but you can still spread the virus. Mm-hmm. So that's the Mayo's position on why they now recommend masks, because you can have it and not know that you have it because you haven't demonstrated any symptoms yet. But there's absolutely no confirmation that asymptomatic people can spread this virus. So it's like a guess.
You know, actually this interesting thing called science that we've been talking about. Let's apply it here.
I've heard of that.
Yeah, I like the word. It's very nice. But anyhow, the science of the
often
issue
misused.
Is, okay, we agree that influenza probably gets carried by respiratory, correct?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Yeah,
transmitted?
Transmitted? Yeah, we don't have problems with respiratory transmission being influenza or right. measles or, right. you know, most all viruses, actually. Many of them. Okay. But all of the patients that get influenza, were they going into somebody's home that was sick? Or was the patient maybe asymptomatic, sharing the wealth of their virus before they actually were aware that they were sick and sharing it?
Are you making a scientific statement, or are you speculating?
No, I'm asking. I'm asking.
It's not, okay. Well, I'll tell you what. The last
they passed it on when they weren't yet
sick. The
last
time I had influenza, I got it from a flu shot. I have not had a flu shot ever since, and that was over 10 years ago. I've not had influenza since I had that flu shot. So, how did somebody get influenza? In my case, it was the flu shot.
I'll tell you a story about vaccines.
Okay, but wait. Before you tell me that story, I want to read this because we were talking about masks before, and we can go into the vaccines if that's okay with John.
And he can also plug our phone number if somebody wants to call in. I know we got a lot of people commenting.
Yeah.
But here's the I've read this before here. This is a Hospital Respiratory Protection Program Toolkit. It's endorsed by OSHA, NIOSH, the CDC, Department of Health and Human Services. Here's what it says regarding masks. And I do want to make this other point. And Nick, you're welcome to comment on this, because you were talking about, Paul asked the question about, what was his question?
What was your question, Paul?
His question was about the, what were you asking, Paul?
Huh?
Never mind. We'll get back to that.
You asked a good question that we're trying to remember what it is. I don't know.
You're talking about the
medical. I don't know. You guys are the ones that got lost here. So.
Well, yeah.
Are you talking about the
metadata? Right. Yeah. You asked about metadata analysis. Yeah. Right. So one of the problems with metadata analysis is that it can be certainly influenced by the political, the politics of the day. And so I personally believe that any studies done on masks, and there have been more than a couple done on masks to prevent respiratory viruses, would be much more likely to be reliable prior to COVID in 2020.
And I want to add to that, we just got a text. Many of the meta-analysis studies focused on healthcare workers, surgeons, and lab studies and are published in high-ranked medical journals. Why is this information being ignored? The mask issue doesn't appear to be based on science.
It's not. So let me just read this directly out of this article. The purpose of a face mask when worn by a patient suspected or confirmed with an illness such as influenza or tuberculosis is to reduce the amount of large infectious particles released as the patient talks, sneezes, or coughs.
Correct.
Okay. Large particles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
However, face masks by design do not seal tightly to the wearer's face. Therefore, they allow unfiltered air to easily flow around the sides of the face mask into the breathing zone and respiratory tract of the wearer. In addition, the materials used for face masks are not regulated for their ability to filter particles and are known to vary greatly between models.
Especially the cloth ones.
This makes it possible for small particles to pass through or around the face mask and be inhaled by the wearer. Let me just stop there. Or to be exhaled by the wearer into the room air. Okay. So in other words, a face mask, if it won't stop, it might diffuse the viral particles that are coming if I'm sick. It might diffuse the viral particles so they don't come out in one big stream this way. But scientific studies have also demonstrated, Nick, that when you exhale, those viral particles go out in jets or plumes out the sides of the mask and infect the people behind me. And they still go into the fluid air. So whether it's on, all in one stream or whether it's diffused into a gentle puff or if they go out the back, they're still getting out.
I think I have nailed the problem here. I think good. I think I know where we're differing our opinions. Oh. We don't disagree that we don't have 100% coverage from a mask. There's no disagreement there at all. What we're disagreeing on is, does it make sense to get, if it was only 20%, would you rather have zero? If it's 40%, would you rather have zero? What we're talking about is not 100% versus zero. We're talking about getting a little bit better protection and hopefully cutting the numbers down so we keep the hallways from being full of ICU patients. Okay. And that, so that's our desire.
And I think that that's based on a false premise. It's a great concept, but it's based on a false premise. And I'll explain that in just a second. A study that was done by, I think it was done by Norway, found that if everybody wore a face mask 100% of the time, just a regular, you know, cloth, yeah, the kinds that people are wearing, that it would take 20,000 people wearing face masks all the time to prevent one infection of COVID-19. So we have to ask ourselves, is that valid?
Well, it all depends on the incidence rate. If the case incidence rate in a population is high, it'll be much greater than one. If every other person has it, we'd be, you know, hopefully saving a lot.
I'm sorry, but I misquoted. I said 20,000. It's 200,000. Yeah. 200,000 people to prevent one infection.
And with their current infection rate, I mean, Norway's not doing too bad. They're doing much, much better, about five times better than Sweden, who's doing nothing.
Okay, let me just finish this because this is the last part that I want to read. This is, by the way, the next part is in all, it's bold. Okay, so I just read this makes it possible for small particles to pass through or around the face mask and be inhaled by the wearer. This is why they are not considered respiratory protection. Okay, they're not considered, what isn't? Face masks. They're not considered respiratory protection. Face exactly. Masks do not, in bold, the word not, do not protect the wearer with a reliable level of protection from inhaling smaller particles, including those emitted into the room air by a patient who's exhaling or coughing or generated during certain medical procedures. So
I told you we agreed.
So let me ask this. So then the next question.
But what you don't understand is how come our disagreement's important.
It is important.
It's huge.
Yes.
This is kind of like stop signs. Okay, are stop signs good or bad? Okay, if you have a stop sign on a highway where it's a four-way stop and everybody's going 70 otherwise, okay, are stop signs good?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, what we're asking people to do is not be coming through the intersection at 70 miles per hour because there might be people coming from this way. We're all at the intersection. What we're asking is everybody, you might stop. Maybe sometimes it's going to be ice and you're going to slide through and still have an accident. But are stop signs good or are they not good?
Oh, sure.
You need stop signs. Okay, so if the COVID is smart enough to see the mask and say, oh, I can't go out there, then maybe it would work. We can read stop signs. COVID can't read. They don't care. It's just a virus. Let me read. This is from BMJ Open, a cluster randomized trial of cloth masks compared with medical masks in healthcare workers. Here's just, I'm going to read this is very short.
This is an important paper, by the way.
The finding of a much higher rate of infection in the cloth mask arm could be interpreted as harm caused by the cloth mask, efficacy of medical masks, or most likely a combination of both. So they found that a much higher rate of infection in the people who were wearing cloth masks.
Yeah.
And they actually say it could be interpreted as harm caused by cloth masks. There's a significant body of scientific evidence, which I will be happy to make available to you, Nick.
Well, I have read a lot of them, but that's okay. Yeah,
Very strong case that wearing a cloth mask actually puts you at greater risk of infection for COVID-19.
Exactly. That's how come you should, if you're working with patients, you should be wearing a respirator, not a cloth mask, not one of the paper masks. It has to be a respirator. Wait.
Can we go back? Because I said that this body of evidence suggests that wearing a cloth mask actually puts you at a greater risk of infection from COVID-19. And you said exactly.
Exactly. You're completely right there, Dave.
And yet there are thousands, hundreds of millions of workers around the country who wear cloth masks all day long in their work.
To prevent them from transmitting. They're the source. We're asking to stop at the stop sign and not go 70 through the stop sign.
But we're asking them to stop at the stop sign by jabbing a spear through their chest when they approach the stop sign.
Anybody done that to you recently, Dave? It's really painful.
Here's the interesting thing about Nick. I'm just going to point this out. His analogies only work when they work for him. So the point is, you're saying it's good that we have these people wearing cloth masks, even though it puts them at a greater risk of sickness because they're protecting people.
No, you're misinterpreting.
And I'm
what
saying
I said.
No. I think that that's really evil.
What I'm saying, Dave, is if you're working with patients, you don't want to be wearing cloth masks. You know they're contaminated.
That's not what you were saying, Nick, because I didn't ask you about people working with patients. I asked you about the millions of people that... I asked you about the millions of people that are forced to wear a cloth mask at work, and they are being put at greater risk of infection themselves. And you said exactly. And now you're talking about people that work with patients. That's not what we're talking. I want to one topic at a time because that's the best way to get clarity.
Read again, though. Who was this test being performed on? This was being performed on medical staff.
Oh, this one. But the point is that even the medical staff who get sick and die from COVID, 65% of them were wearing N95 masks, Nick. Yeah. And not just N95 masks, N95 masks and gloves and hats and cloaks and shoe coverings. They had everything. So wait a minute. But if an N95 mask doesn't protect a medical worker, why would we think that these cloth masks would protect anybody?
When the guys were over in Iraq...
This is
important. When they were over in Iraq, we were very upset they didn't have adequate body armor. But did we save every one of them? Can body armor protect you from a headshot?
The question is, does the armor that they're wearing work?
It works better than the paper mask, obviously. That's what they were saying. It works better than the cloth mask. That's what they're saying.
So the position that you're taking, Nick, if I understand you correctly, is that something is better than nothing. Yes or no?
I'd say 40% is better than nothing, yes.
Okay, and so you're saying that any one of these random cloth masks we're going to work at preventing somebody from spreading COVID-19 than nothing at all. That's your position.
Well, actually, it's not my position. Israel, Finland, Sweden, UK, Germany, everybody, Dave. Okay. This is not a political issue. This is a worldwide issue.
It's a very much a political issue, Nick.
In Israel, is it a political issue in Israel? In Israel, if they catch you without wearing a mask, you know what the fine is?
They shoot you.
Well, that'll
probably
work.
Pretty close.
That'll work.
I want to ask you guys this, a couple of questions, because we're running long here.
Yeah,
are we in a pandemic? Is this a pandemic right now?
Yes. No.
Okay, we got yes, yes or no.
Absolutely
okay.
not.
Okay,
global health experts say yes. Yeah, I say yes.
They're lying.
I say Trump.
And they
okay.
lie.
Okay. Yeah. Now, it's really funny.
I would never lie.
I didn't say
nobody,
you.
Nobody
no,
I know
I think
would
you're
ever
believing
lie.
The people that are lying.
No, I disagree completely, Dave. The people that I taught, the people that taught me, they have higher standards than anyone else I know. And they would not lie. And hearing anything that suggests that they would, I will not accept it.
And those people did these studies with masks. So wait a minute. So here's what's valid. you get a bunch of people who are, first of all, we haven't even established whether or not asymptomatic spread is a thing, which I, like I said, I've seen no study. Please give me scientific literature, Nick.
Every
I will read
case of influenza.
Not influenza. We're talking about COVID-19.
It's a virus.
And if influenza was that way, then why haven't we been wearing masks for decades to stop influenza?
Well, because very quickly we do end up getting vaccines. And we have like a 0.1% mortality rate from influenza. And the terrible thing is it's not only the elderly, it's also the young.
What's the mortality rate from vaccines?
Very, very low.
Is it really? Okay, that's interesting because there was a, and I'll give you this information as well, there was a nursing home that had not a single case of COVID-19 among their population, both the staff and the residents. And the vaccine, they just started giving them vaccines. I think that they said that they'd vaccinated about 80%. And they started, and the residents started dying. They've had dozens of deaths caused only after they took the vaccines. That just came out 2 days ago.
Well, the story I was going to tell, let me
wait, is that finish. Irrelevant?
No.
Is it relevant?
Here's the relevant part. Okay, this is the story. Okay, back in the autism days when everyone was thinking that getting vaccines caused autism, that was a thing that people used to think. Okay,
still do.
Well, they're
many
wrong.
Many people still think that.
All right, okay.
You can read the paper by anyhow. I wrote a paper on that, Dave, so I'll get you the paper.
I'd love to see it.
Yeah, you'll enjoy it. It's really well written. okay, but anyhow, to get to that point, imagine this scenario, because it happened. A doctor was about ready to give a three-year-old child a vaccination. Just before he got to the child with the vaccine, the child had a epileptic seizure, seized up bad. He hadn't given the child the injection, okay? So obviously the vaccine didn't cause it. However, just imagine if he had given the vaccine, injected it, and a minute later that epileptic seizure happened.
That's an interesting anecdote.
They'd blame it on the vaccine. Well,
interesting anecdote.
But
that's all it is.
All the times.
No, it doesn't.
Dave, people have their first epileptic seizure. Everyone that has their epileptic seizure
but
is going to
epileptic
happen.
Epilepsy is not autism, Nick.
Okay, and so
you're comparing apples and oranges.
Okay,
No, I'm saying that causality, if something had happened
apples and
a
oranges.
Minute later, not apples and oranges at all.
It is very much apples and oranges.
Okay, we go from to mask or not to mask to epilepsy to oranges and apples. And here's my question, you guys. We're way deep into this show.
Sure.
And I'm looking at my schedule right now here for Grand Forks Best Source, and wouldn't you know it, we are totally booked except for a week from today. That is Tuesday the 19th. Can we carry this on? Can we continue? Nick Ralston,
sure.
Will that work
I'll
for you
here.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
And I think a good thing to do would be going back on this one and some of the points that we covered, and then we can bring in the facts to support you.
Yeah, because we have had well over 100 texts. I only probably answered maybe five or even read five or six of these texts today. Yeah. So for the people that don't think this is worth talking about anymore, it is, because nobody else does. And we want to thank all you people that have been texting in, and I'm sorry if we didn't get a chance to answer all your questions, but there's been a ton of them. And, you know, Nick, we have been waiting. We waited for so long for somebody to come on the show. And now it's been 3 weeks in a row, and now we'll make it four in a row. But very interesting stuff. I'm glad that you guys are friends. Because I don't want to have to get Paul, the producer, to do the heavy work here and break you guys up. But no, it's good when you can get a couple of guys that know what they're talking about and talk and have a regular conversation. And we appreciate that, and I hope you don't mind that we're just going to get out of this right now.
No, that's fine. And actually, while we sound like we're at cross purposes in a lot of ways, and you know, I think we do have a few places we don't agree, obviously.
Yes.
We agree in more ways than we don't.
Yes.
And I will say this, if I could. I think I don't think that Nick would lie. I think that he sincerely believes what he's saying. And so that puts me in a really good place because I think that Nick is humble enough and I certainly am to admit when I'm wrong or have insufficient information about something. And as you know, John, I started this quest, 7 months ago with this question: what is the truth? Because I keep hearing conflicting conflicting mm-hmm. information. And John, I want to thank you, by the way, for letting us.
well, you know, digress. There's two firsts on this show today. One being it was probably, I think, the longest show we have done, besides our politically miscorrect show. And two, it's the first time I've ever used the word jabronis on our show. So a couple of firsts today. And you guys, we will continue this. We're going to carry on a week from today. I appreciate the heck out of both of you guys coming in here. I know you're both very busy men, and we sure appreciate it. But we're gonna continue with this on Tuesday. Boy, I tell you what an interesting show. Nick Ralston, biomedical researcher, and David Waterman, of course, from the Midwest Public Health Coalition. And stay tuned for part two of this show, To Mask or Not To Mask. We'll do that next Tuesday, all right? Special thanks going out to Do So Photography. You know what? If you're a procrastinator, probably a little too late for those Christmas cards. But it's not too late for maybe senior portraits. Yeah, I know graduation's coming up. You probably still have time. Family portraits. Bobby does an incredible job. He also does business headshots, your cards, your business cards, your advertising, corporate pics, products, food, etc. Does incredible job with race car pictures too. And he was also up at the Beehive with us in Reynolds this past weekend. And man, did he take some great shots of some of those vintage snowmobiles. You know, if you want to look the best, Do So Photography can do that. If you don't believe us, you'll be able to see this Friday when you come to our open house, which I'll talk about in a minute. You'll be able to check out the Do So Photography Wall of Fame here in the studio. DoSoPhoto.com or call them up 218-230-4325. You want to look the best, like I said, Bobby can do it. Do So Photography. He'll even come and take the pictures at your house. Oh, let's see. Don't forget, we're now on Amazon Music. Tell your smart speaker to play GFBS Podcast. It'll do it. Tomorrow, John Falk and Jeff Carl join us to talk about Hometown Heroes Outdoors. It's a great thing. The fishing club that I'm involved with did some work with these guys last year. It's kind of like a Wounded Warriors thing, but it's really cool. So that's coming up tomorrow and all the events that they're going to be doing. And our open house and ribbon cutting ceremony with the Chamber is coming up on Friday at about 4 o'clock. I tell you what, come here to the studios of GFBS in the Grand Cities Mall. We're going to have live music from the Heat Seekers. They are incredible. And once it's all done, we're going to go over to Rumor Sports Bar and Casino. We've got Sloppy Joe's online for you. And maybe drink a couple of cold ones too, all right? Hey, everybody, thanks for tuning in. Remember to like, share, and tag us. We are Grand Forks' best source, giving Grand Forks an identity again.